Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering ourselves at the divine lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan, this is Karuna along with audio engineer Yatharta signing in from Prashanti Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory. We are coming to you live from the Prashanti Digital Studios. Today is the 7th of February 2013 and the time here right now is 9:38 a.m. After an unseasonably pleasant January, the temperatures in the Divine Valley are slowly inching to near normal levels. But it is still quite pleasant during the day and fairly cool at night times. The current temperature in Prashanti Nilayam is 21 degrees Celsius and we are expecting lows of 20 and highs of 33 degrees over the next 24 hours. The general outlook for Prashanti is clear sunny skies and bright sunshine. Talking of sunshine, all of us, that is you, me, and millions of others who pray in the name of Sai, how lucky are we to have our personal source of sunshine in life, one who makes us happy even when our skies are grey. To the splendor of our Sai who radiates the brilliance of a million suns, with hearts filled with reverence, we bow over and over again. How can we ever be grateful enough to the one being who has filled our lives with love and sunshine? Dear listeners, today on Morning Glory, we have two very engaging conversations lined up for you, each of which reflect a ray of Sai glory. After the All India Bal Vikas Alumni Meet concluded here last month, we had an opportunity to sit down with a few of the alumni members for a chat. Today, in the latter half of the show, I will bring you a conversation with one such Bal Vikas alumnus, Dr. Ramesh Srinivasan, a consultant with McKinsey from San Francisco, California, USA. In this interview, Dr. Ramesh Srinivasan explains why Bal Vikas is such a huge factor behind his success in life. And in coming weeks, I will bring you a series of reflections and short interviews with various members of this group. So remember to stay tuned to Morning Glory every single Thursday. But the first interview of the day belongs to my colleague and my brother, Mr. Dhananjay Sheth. It's an in-house Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories, specially recorded at the request of our many listeners. But before I give you any details about this conversation, here is some melodious news from the Divine Valley where we never have a dull moment. Recently, that is on the 2nd of this month, Prashanti Nilayam hosted the Tyagaraja Aradhana Festival. South India's famous musical fiesta Tyagaraja Aradhana found a brand new meaning and a renewed fulfillment when an ensemble of 75 musicians joined together offering Tyagaraja Pancharatna Kirti's rendition at the Divine Lotus Feet of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba on February 2nd, 2013. The evening's program was part of a two-day Parthi Yatra by the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations of Tamil Nadu. Organized by Padma Bhushan Trichur V. Ramachandran, well-known Carnatic vocalist, the program included some of the familiar names from the world of music. These include Padma Bhushan, P.S. Narayan Swami, O.S. Tyagarajan, Dr. Ganesh, Bombay Sisters C. Saroja and C. Lalita, Anuradha Krishnamurti on vocal, Dr. V.V. Ravi, Dr. Lalita Chittur Venkatesan, and Dr. Mala Chandrasekhar on flute, along with a host of musicians on various other instruments. It is no secret that Bhagwan enjoyed all genres of music, including Carnatic music, and he himself would sing Carnatic music. And over the years, Prashanti has witnessed many celebrated artists offering musical tributes to him. The recent Tyagaraja Aradhana Festival proved music to the ears of the vast congregation here. And yes, music to the ears, and the puns are intended. I will bring you a delightful sample of it at the end of the show. So please stay with Morning Glory till the end. Now, here's another heads up for music lovers in the Bangalore area. The Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization of Karnataka is hosting an evening of devotional music by Bhajan Samrat, Padma Shri and renowned singer Sri Anoop Jalota on Sunday, February 24th, 2013. The program will begin at 4 p.m. and the venue is the Sacred Sai Ramesh Hall, Swami's Vrindavan Ashram at Kadugodi, Bangalore. If you live in or around Bangalore, you may want to save the date, which is February 24th on your calendar, and attend and enjoy this musical extravaganza. Coming up, the feature presentation of the day that I can't wait to play for you. It all started with a very positive response to our earlier in-house Fleeting Moments interviews. When we played the conversation with my colleagues, Bishu Prushti and Vinod Chakravarti, the listeners were very forthcoming in asking for more such interviews with Sai alumni working here in Radio Sai. So it did take me several months to convince Dhananjaya Sheth to agree to this interview. Initially, I used gentle persuasion. It didn't work. Then I upgraded my approach to calm reasoning. That didn't take me far either. When nothing worked, I just had to threaten him. And on the day of the recording, DJ was so nervous and traumatized that I was afraid he may pass out in front of me. Seriously, this is how reluctant DJ was for this exercise. But I prayed to Swami and I used every trick in my bag to bring you this conversation with a young man who fought with his chancellor, sulked and threw tantrums at him, but never for a moment did his best buddy, his chancellor, ever stop loving him. As a matter of fact, Bhagwan saved DJ from many disasters that he landed himself in, including when DJ was found dangling precariously for his dear life from the ceiling of the Sai Kulwant Hall, holding on to nothing but an audio speaker. Dear listeners, conducting this interview was very special for me because of its simplicity. It reminded me that loving God and embracing God is the best way to befriend Him. I don't know why we do it, but don't we often place God on a pedestal as someone to be feared? DJ taught me how wonderful it is to love God as your best buddy. I think this love for God and fear of wrongdoing that the Sai education nurtures in its students is its most priceless gift, more valuable than any diploma or degree. I hope the innocence of this conversation will touch you as deeply as it has touched me. Sairam, dear listeners, every few months we are delighted to bring you an in-house Fleeting Moments interview. In response to your positive feedback to our earlier conversations with Baba students working here at Radio Sai, today we are happy to bring you a conversation with Brother Dhananjaya Sheth. Brother Dhananjaya, better known as DJ in Radio Sai circles, was born in Karwar, northern Karnataka. He attended Bhagwan's school at Muddanhalli from grade 5 through grade 10. After that, he relocated to Prashanthi Nilayam for his higher secondary studies, completing grades 11 and 12 here. And it appears that he felt so comfortable and so at home here that he pretty much settled here in Prashanthi Nilayam. By that I mean DJ right away joined the Sai University at Prashanthi Nilayam campus and completed his BA Economics in 2005. And then he went on to earn his Master's degree in Economics in 2007, again from the Prashanthi Nilayam campus of Bhagwan's University. Shortly thereafter, he joined Radio Sai Global Harmony at the explicit command of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. He now works as an audio engineer in our state-of-the-art studio, handling sophisticated recordings and post-production work, especially on our Sai Blossom products. DJ also works on the music console in the mandir during all programs that take place in the Sai Kulwant Hall. At Team Radio Sai, Brother DJ is our happy mascot, for he is generally found smiling or sleeping, as he works very hard and very long hours, and while working, he is always beaming with joy, till such time he drops asleep. When people can't find him by phone, there are stories of them looking for him under his recording console, just in case he fell asleep there. Today I had to comfort Brother DJ with Swami's vibhuti, some sweets from the Western canteen and a large drink of water before he agreed to sit down for this conversation. And I assure you that his experiences are hair-raising in more ways than one. So let me start off by thanking DJ for his presence here. Sairam, Brother DJ, and a very warm welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories.
Thank you, Sairam.
It's a delight to finally have you here, brother. So let's start off with your Muddanhalli years. How and why did you join Bhagwan's school in Muddanhalli in grade 5?
I saw Swami in the year 1990. That was in my first standard.
Oh, you must have been a little boy then.
Yeah, very short and cute boy actually I was.
Oh, I bet you were.
I got a chance to sit in the first row actually. That was the first time I've seen Swami. And as a kid, we got a chance to play with sand there, everything. We had come as a group of something like 300 people from our Samiti side. First time I saw Swami, like he just came and stood in front of me in our Samiti group.
Mm-hmm.
Just came and stood in front of me and I was playing with the sand. And like I was not noticing Swami standing before me. I was involved with sand more than Swami there. And seeing the performance, the second day they threw me behind and consecrated here. Like every year I was made to sit back. And I was quite naughty to say, I mean, my family said also I was very naughty in a sense. People started hating me, not because they want to hate me, because I was so naughty they hated me in the family. And finally...
Mischief monger.
Yeah, I was quite naughty. Basically, I wanted to find a place for myself. And even family people like wanted me to join some hostel. It was not decided that I should join Mudanalli hostel.
Any military school, anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere. Like they just wanted me out of the house.
And under some strict discipline.
So that time I was ready for any hostel for that matter. And a friend of mine, his name is Rupak, and his grandfather was a person who used to wave chamara for Swami during Dashara time. He casually called me one day and said, see, there is a Swami school, you want to join or what? I said, yeah, I mean, I'll be happy to join. Like, I'll be happy to go to any other school because I'll be out of family. I mean, I was in that kind of dilemma I was in. Then finally, we just got into Mudanalli. But initial days, first few days, though, whatever you call, you can like naughty, whatever it is, first few days I felt real homesick. But then after, like I could feel Swami's vibrations more and more in Mudanalli, and I felt the transition what I've made in my life was the correct direction. I mean, I've headed towards the correct direction, I mean to say.
That you know now, but at that time,
Absolutely had no idea. Like, I was grateful for myself that I got into a good company. Well, like, why I'm saying this, got into a good company, I can refer to a few teachers in Mudanalli who really trained me in the sense, at the age of 10, at the grade of 5, they used to make me feel responsible. There was one teacher by name Krishna who is no more. Every day, like when I was crying, he used to take me for a round and he used to tell me about the greatness of Mudanalli, greatness of the place, greatness of the people who are dedicated for that place, and he used to talk about Swami. And those things kind of gave a concrete confidence in me to settle for Swami rather than telling I came for education. Mm-hmm. Like I was kind of getting grew towards settling for Swami. So. Mm-hmm. In that context, I should say I'm grateful to Swami because without my knowledge, he brought me towards the correct place.
Even though you're playing with sand when he was standing in front of you.
And before joining Mudanalli campus, like I used to see movies, you know. Uh-huh. As a kid, we used to see movies. We used to imagine certain things like when they said Swami is the institutional head. I used to think that, yeah, as a Swami, I think he'll come and wake us up every day in the morning. All that kind of blah, blah, imagination. And the very first day, our warden comes and wakes me up. I said, no, you're not supposed to come and wake me up. I mean, I was so naughty. I thought, where is Swami? I mean, that kind of thing we got into. To my surprise, Swami visited Mudanalli in our first week of joining Mudanalli. I mean, we joined in June 1st. June 7th or 8th, he visited Mudanalli. And in that first visit, he looked at me and he gave me a beautiful smile. Now, if you sit and recall all those moments, I feel that was for a... purpose for what he gave that smile. And after that, full time I was kind of dedicated to that place rather than going for academic things. To be honest, like during the vacations also, I used to stay back in Mudanalli. I never went home.
Why? Didn't you want to be at home?
I was so happy and I was feeling, I mean, the place is full of positive energy. So, like in my sixth standard when I went home for 10 days, it was so miserable for me. I mean, the surrounding areas, I mean, I don't know how to define that, but I felt lot of positive energy in Mudanalli.
It's all the teachers were Tyagajeevis.
Yeah, they're very, very dedicated. Like, I can mention a few of them. Like, Venkatesh Kamath, who was the wing teacher for us in our 10th standard. Then Girish, then Shankar Shettigar. All these people, like, they're very innocent at heart. Like, don't have anything back of their mind. Like, anything they tell Swami, Sairam. I mean, it's very difficult to find a person like them.
And a good teacher can make all the difference.
Absolutely. And in our 7th standard, again, when Swami had come to Mudanalli, I gave a letter to Swami. By then, I knew about Puttaparthi, the chances what you get in Puttaparthi as a student, all those things like people start telling. So, I started dreaming about that, how nice it will be if I get a chance in Puttaparthi, all that. So, 7th, when he had come, I just wrote a letter to Swami saying that, Swami, I love you and please give me a seat. And I've written that very clear title, Swami, my English is not good. I just wrote him that, like only 3 or 4 lines, I still remember that. And Swami took the letter and Swami asked, what do you want? I said, Swami, whatever I want, I've written him that.
A good grade in English also.
Then Swami said, no, English is not that important. Your heart is good, that is enough, that's what I want. So kind of he was trying to tell you that English is not the very important thing in the life. There are so many other things
very
which
true.
You have to come up in life. Like those things he started telling me. And in that visit, particularly when he was going back, he threw one flower at me. Cutely, I caught the flower. And again, I wanted to give back the same flower to Swami. That time Swami told in Telugu, Ichindi Nike. What is given to you is for you. Like now when you sit back and analyze all those things which Swami spoke, I mean, it makes sense. Once Swami decides to give something to you, I mean, you can expect more than what you can imagine. So this would happen till my 7th. Then 8th standard also, like, very good experience. Once one of my classmates, he was kind of homesick. Basically, he joined in his 8th standard. And he didn't have that much of exposure as we got for last 3 years in 5th, 6th, 7th. So how much I would try to tell him, like, Swami is everything. He should tell, no, don't talk all this nonsense. How can you say Swami is everything? You know, we are just 8th standard kids. You need not be over mature to say that, you know, Swami is everything. You have to be like what you are. You're supposed to be like a 8th standard kid. Don't talk little hi-fi philosophy, all that. We made a point to tell him that, see, every Sunday make it a point to visit Swami's Mandir, sit alone, and try to imagine Swami being there. And he sincerely practiced it for more than about 7 to 8 months. Every Sunday is to go and sit there for 10-15 minutes.
In Muddinhalli,
in the campus.
Okay.
Then suddenly, end of his 8th standard, he come back to us and says, Swami is appearing in that Mandir every Sunday that he goes. Initially, we thought maybe he's trying to fool us or whatever it is. Then eventually, like, as a group, we started following him. Okay, his name is T.G. Srinivas. We started following him. Then he turned out to be one of the leader from our batch. I mean, he inspired the people so much that everybody started listening to him, whatever he says. If he says that is bad, it has to be bad. And Swami has interacted so many times in the residence. And as a group, when you go and sit there, like, he used to show his presence there.
In what way? How do you mean?
Like, you write a letter and leave it at Swami's
altar.
Invariably, either Vibhuti or Swami is to appear there in front of this T.G. Srinivas. He had interacted with Swami more than 10-12 times. And towards the board exams time also, he had seen Swami there physically. I mean, those are the things which kind of added confidence in us.
And your faith became firm, I guess, at that young age.
And in my 10th standard, when we were preparing for our 11th class entrance here.
In Prashanti.
For Prashanti, yeah. That was one of the best experience I had that particular time, because that time only 15 of us stayed back for appearing for this 11th class exam. And it's about 8.5 kilometers from Muddinhalli to reach Chibbalapur. So one fine day at around 3:30 we get a call saying that Swami is rushing to Puttaparthi to visit some VIP. It's just a short notice visit. And like a crazy, we just started running. Can you imagine me running for 8.5 kilometers? We just ran like on nutcases.
Just from the Muddinhalli down into Chibbalapur. To catch him on the highway.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we just ran. And finally, when we reached Chibbalapur, it was about 5:30 in the morning. We got a message saying that now Swami is leaving after Aarti. So we were like, Swami, no, please don't do that. I mean, when you got information, at least come half an hour early. I mean, please do acknowledge our effort. Then finally we all slept under the tree, like we all had coconut, dry fruits, everything. Then finally at around 9:30, Swami started from Whitefield. By the time he reached that particular place, by name Chitravati it is called, it was about 11:30 it was.
You've been waiting since early morning.
Early morning. So 15 of us were there. And everyone was carrying one thing. I mean, one fellow was carrying water, coconut water,
for
dry
Swami.
Fruits. For Swami.
Okay,
just to offer.
And on the side of the road.
Yeah. And Swami graciously came and stopped the car next to us. Only few were there. And it was my chance to offer the Tetra package to Swami. And when I put the hand inside, I mean, obviously Swami kind of made some gesture. I thought Swami is asking for fruity, so I just left the cover. It went and fell on his lap. And Satish Bhadra gave me one staring look. I thought, gone, you know, forget about 11th class seat. I mean, they won't allow me to stand anywhere close to the campus. So finally, Swami smilingly took 3 tetra packets. One he gave to Satish Bhadra, other 2 gave to the drivers. And other rest, 8 he gave back to us, saying that Meer Panchkondi.
All of you share it.
By then I had a letter with me to tell Swami, Swami, please bless me, I have to go for entrance, 11th class entrance. Then everybody offered, like, I was thinking something I've forgotten, I don't know what I forgot, but I'm sure that something I've forgotten. Swami, you know, cutely was asking, anta aipayinda.
Is it all over?
I was like, Swami, aipayindi. Swami said, okay, manchidi. That just when he was about to raise the window. I remember Swami letter is there. I said, Swami has just shouted once. Swami again stopped the car and we all ran to Swami. Swami,
what happened?
I told Swami, okay, letter in the Swami.
One letter there.
Swami told Dunna Posa, Aduktunanu Mik Telida.
Haven't I been asking you for it and he called you Buffalo?
Dunna Posa. While giving the letter, I said, Swami, please bless me. I want to join 11th class. Swami said, Chappane, Naida Tragitala Chappane.
Meaning?
Means your 5th standard only, I told you, no?
Oh.
I'll give you a seat.
When he told you English is not
then
important.
I told Swami, 7th. 7th class to kuda Chappano.
In 7th also, I told you.
I told Swami, thank you, Swami. I mean, I was very sure that I'm going to get a
because
seat.
Because he said twice,
Then when I appeared for my 11th class, actually I operated for ME, then Ramohan sir innocently came and told me, if you want to enjoy it, Swami, take commerce. I was like, fine, anything you give, no problem for me. I mean, out of 15, only I got selected from Mudrenli, representative. I was ready for any course for that matter.
You didn't care about any stream, any subject.
I just wanted to be with Swami, so I said, okay, no problem for that. By the end of my 10th, I had developed passion for mathematics and other things. I didn't want the subject like social science. I started hating, in the sense, those things didn't really trigger
interest,
me much.
Yeah.
So finally when I took CAE, I was very happy.
Which is commerce, economics and English?
No, commerce, accounts and economics.
Okay, accounts and economics.
But I was feeling bad that maths I have given up, that kind of thing. But end of my 12th, Swami told me stay back here only. So for me to stay back, the only alternative is to take BA. The subject which I hated most, like political science, history, I was forced to study for 2 years.
Because if you took other combinations, you would have to go to Brindavan.
Brindavan.
So you
so
wanted
Swami
to be
told
closed.
Very clearly, stay back here.
So you suffered these subjects you were not crazy about.
I should not say I suffered. I should say that was a different experience altogether. The subject you don't like, you are forced to study for 2 years. I mean, it was nice. But, you know, the political science, Gangana Shastri sir, he was one of the best professors I've ever come across in my life. Everything he make it very interesting. So, academic-wise, somehow managed.
And you completed your bachelor's majoring in economics.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not talk about your academics. Now, tell me about the experience of relocating to Puttaparthi. When you were here in 11th and 12th, what are your fondest memories?
To start with, I think I should tell you about the funny thing that happened with Swami was like, suppose if I ask you to go to some certain place, you have your own way of judging that place.
Right.
Then when I tell Karuna, please can you go to this place? Mm. You start telling, no, in that place that was better, in this place this is not good.
Mm.
It's the same situation with me.
Mm.
So 6 years I got used to one set of
Mudanhali's environment,
frequency, all that. When I came to Parthi, I start complaining about everything. Like I start comparing, that is the mistake which I made.
Yeah.
Like I should write a letter to Swami. I remember I wrote something like 25 to 30 letters.
Complaining?
It's not exactly complaining. It's like telling Swami in Mudrenli, this is better. Parthi, this could be better. That kind
gentle
of thing.
Suggestions.
Suggestions. I mean, Swami kindly took all those letters. Swami always gives long rope to everybody, right? So, he also gave me the long rope to know about this place. So, he took 25, 30 letters. Then, end of that period, suddenly Swami called me one day. When I was offering the letter, no, Swami said, Chudu, ikkadochesavu. Ikkadochin tarvata, adi marchipovali. Means he said, once you have come to Parthi, start enjoying Puttaparthi. Don't keep complaining, Swami, this is there, this is not
so
there, that is not
the
there.
Be in the present moment.
Be in the present moment. That's what the first lesson that he taught me once I came out of Mudrenli. Not that we were not aware of that fact, but he made it very evident saying that, don't grip about everything that you have come across, being present. And in my 11th, I had my spectacles.
Oh, you used to wear glasses?
Yeah. On the right, I had about 1.25 or something. On the left, I had a point.
I've never seen you wear glasses.
And one day, I was suffering from acute headache and I could not sleep. Next day, Swami casually came. He called me. 11th and 12th is a time when Swami spoke once in 3 days, kind of quite often he used to speak. So that day he called me and said, Dunnapota Padkoleda. I said, Swami, Padko Nanu.
He said it in English for a listener. He said, did you not sleep well?
I said, Swami, I slept. Swami said, no, you didn't sleep. I said, Swami, no, Swami, I slept. Swami said, you are lying to me. You had headache, right? I said, Swami, yeah, little bit of headache. Swami said, not little bit, you had too much of headache. Then Swami materialized Vibhuti. He applied on my forehead. Swami said, no, today you'll get nice sleep, you go. I was like very happy. I said, man, Swami has applied Vibhuti, it has to be better today. So that day it aggravated double. Imagine, it was like somebody taking hammer and just smashing on your head.
Oh my God.
It was that bad. So next day I was gearing up to tell Swami because of that Vibhuti, it increased. Before I could get up, I was trying to make some gesture in front of him. Swami was trying to indicate, calm down, I'll come to you. As and when he reached to me, he said, headache increased? So Swami increased. How much? Swami doubled, Swami. Swami said, you have spectacles, throw it off. I said, Swami, this is for my eyes. I said, I know, throw it in dustbin. As innocently I went to hostel, squeezed it, I put it in dustbin. And next day I asked Babu sir, Sarish Babu sir, sir, I want to go for an eye checkup. So he allowed me to go to super hospital, got it checked, everything became normal.
So you didn't need glasses anymore?
I didn't need any glasses anymore. Then when I sat for darshan in the afternoon, I was a little tensed.
Why?
Why means like, first of all, Swami told me to remove the spectacle. And top of that, I felt like hero. I went to a super hospital to get it checked. Now the doctor has told is not required. Now what should I tell Swami? Should I thank him for removing the spectacles, or should I put a sorry face for rechecking him? So that was the thing. When Swami came to me, first thing he told us, you should have faith in me. But Swami, sorry. Once I tell something, you have to listen. But Swami, sorry, Swami. Hospital ke lo chava?
You went to hospital and came.
Swami, yeah, I went to hospital. What did doctor say? I said, Swami, everything is normal. See, to clarify that, did you go to hospital? You should have faith. So what I was trying to tell you is like, though we have taken Swami granted, there are hidden messages in that. Like, it could be just a spectacle event, but there are like hidden messages like, you should have faith in Swami, you should understand Swami, you should start loving Swami. Those things he started highlighting at a very early age, I should say. And even I had a funny experience in my 11th standard. Like, those are the time, as a schoolboy, they didn't allow to participate in bike stunts.
Mm-hmm. For sports day.
Mm-hmm. So somehow we kind of managed, and we went and asked Janardhan sir, the warden. We told sir we want to be in bike stunts, all that. So finally he certified saying that you can be in bike stunt, but he didn't give a positive answer. Those times Swami used to call group wise to know what items you are doing, all that. So it was just after the Christmas, he just called all the bike stunts group. He looked at me and told, careful. I said, Swami, yeah. Like, it was a particular instruction.
He just raised his finger, looked at you.
He looked at me and told, be careful. I said, Swami, because once Swami says be careful means that there is some hidden meaning in that. So I was a little tensed because he looked at me and told, but I was praying, Swami, please give me an answer for that. We have told that. Then he looked at me again and told, Ammail chuste, accelerator alaga potundi. He said, moment to look at girls around in the stadium, the acceleration automatically will go. Be careful with that. I said, Swami, I'll control myself, Swami. I'll be honest. I did all that. Then Swami said, check out for the fuel knob. He gave these two particular instructions.
Fuel knob and girls.
No, fuel knob and the acceleration.
After looking at the girls.
So I said, Swami, yeah, thank you. Then when we came to stadium, first time when I'm touching the bike, like I'm trying to see the fuel knob, everything. It was fine, and Swami told that he'll come for the practice session on 2nd, just after the New Year. He said he'll come for the, just seeing the rehearsal. By then we were like, kind of got ready with few formations and entering into fire tunnels, all that stuff. And it was on 31st evening, I guess. 31st evening or 1st evening, I don't remember the exact date.
So about 10 days before the real event.
Yeah, real event. Uh-huh. We had finished our practice by 6 o'clock and our instructor, Girdhar sir, who is a faculty in business management school, he told us very clearly, you stop it there. And as a, you know, bubbling youth, whatever you can call it, because I'll go for one more round of practice. He said, okay, go. By then, they had turned out the fuel, everything. I didn't notice. And it was all acceleration. Everything got kind of get locks, actually. And I was trying to, you know, stand and do some stunts or whatever it is. And there was a jerk and fell down. I just fractured my hand. And I felt very miserable in the sense. One or two days from then, Swami is going to see the first performance and I was out of it. I felt very bad. I was sitting at one end of the gallery crying. And Swami, he saw the other people participating. That time he just looked at me and he called me. Swami, I told Swami, Padpan, Swami, I fell down and Swami said, are you feeling bad? I told Swami, I'm feeling bad because I'm not able to present before you. Swami said, no, that is not a problem, but are you feeling bad about what happened? So Swami, absolutely, I'm not feeling bad about what has happened, but I'm feeling bad that I'm not able to present before you. Swami said, I'll come on 7th. You'll perform. So Swami, doctor has put so many things on my hand. Swami said, no, I'll put a vibhuti, upload vibhuti. And that trainer had come, he just pulled some heavy sound came, katra sound and all came.
Oh, the trainer?
The trainer, he just pulled my hand, it was quite painful. And Swami said, 7th vachi chustanu.
He'll come and see it on 7th.
But the trainer didn't agree for me to go and sit on a bike. I said, nothing, Swami wants to see me on bike on 7th, I'm going to participate. So finally they gave me the simplest thing of riding into the fire tunnel. Like even if you close your eyes, you can just happily, you can go. So because Swami told he is going to see, they allowed me. Then finally we performed on 7th and Swami called me, blessed me. Swami happy. I told Swami very happy. Want to perform on a final day? I told Swami, please, I want to perform on a final day. In front of everybody, I want to perform. Then Swami blessed and he agreed. So in this incident, I could clearly tell that though Swami gave, you know, the prayer hint saying that you have to be careful about certain things, so at times we tend to forget, could be silly things, but these things matters a lot. I mean, Swami had to come down to our level to tell this is correct, that is wrong. In spite of telling that this is not the way we are supposed to do, we did the same way. Finally, we broke our hand. Finally, to satisfy us, he gave us one more chance. Finally,
and then another chance.
Another chance. So, I mean, you can see how compassionate he is. And he wants to just see one smile on kid's face. So, that way, we were like quite happy in our school days.
And is that the reason why you chose to be in Prashanti and take the subjects, any subjects that came your way to do your undergrad studies?
I had a passion for this audio thing in the first place. The first thing which got diverted from my homeliness and all the stuff was when I was in Muddinalli, I got associated myself with PA system.
Oh, okay, in the school.
In the school. So 600, they asked me to solder some certain cables. So that's how the passion and love for that area kind of got developed. When I came to schooling here, warden sir gave me a small amplifier to work upon. And that's how when I came to institute again, you know, it was a major, I should say, jump. I got exposed to big mixers, amplifiers. We got a chance to put up a stacks for a sports meet. So keeping all these things in mind, I wanted to stay back here. And correctly, Swami also told, stay back here.
DJ, before we go any further, tell us about any particular memories you have of grade 11 and 12.
We were given a chance to act like a Gopalas. Gopalas in the sense, during Krishnashtami time, we were allowed to get cows and calves.
Calves from, yeah, Gokulam.
From Gokulam.
To Mandir.
So, to Mandir.
So this was in what, grade 11?
It was in my 12th.
12th standard,
yeah.
Okay.
Like how I told you about this sports meet, just 5 days before the Krishnashtami, he called all the Gopalas come. And he was giving particular instructions. He was telling, see, calves are very naughty. They'll jump here and there. You have to be very careful about taming them. You have to love them. All that he was telling. Then finally he asked, who is getting calves? We both, myself and Abhay Gautam. And then Swami, special instruction he gave to us. He said, see, till they reach gate, they'll be very fine. No problem. Once they step in, the problem starts. So practice the calves properly. But Swami, blessings are required. Swami said, my blessings are always there. The thing is, we started getting used to the calves. We started patting them, started feeding them. Everything we started.
Spending time with them.
Kind of one and a half hours daily.
So you used to go to Gokulam to do that?
One and a half hours we used to spend with the cow, calf, Gokulam, the atmosphere. Nice it was. Then the final day came. The procession started from Gokulam to gate. It was fantastic. I mean, no problem at all. It was nice. It was following the convoy, I should say. Moment it reached the gate, that cow saw the massive saigitha, saw the crowd, it lost control. We just didn't know what to do. We could not control that calf. And finally, we had to jump over it. We were praying, Swami, please help us, all that. Finally, we jumped on the calf. We caught the calf. Swami is seeing from the interview room side, all the confusion is going on. Finally, when he came for feeding the cows and calves.
And you were exhausted by then.
We were like very tired. Swami straight came to me to open the mouth. I thought he is meaning my mouth. I opened it cutely. Swami said, Dunapoda Nidikadra. Tandi.
Not yours, the calf's mouth.
Yeah, calf's mouth.
Well, he had to feed him, right?
Yeah, so finally I tried opening the calf mouth. Then it refused to eat. Then Swami put in manager, eat. I ate off that banana because it came from Swami, right? So everybody there in the Kulanda started telling, you ate even the calf share, you didn't even spare the calf. So, I should say funny moment, but I had a very good chance with Swami those days.
Your batch, I believe, was very dynamic and very popular, but you had to pay a price for that.
Yeah, so all the authorities were kind of having an eye on our batch. And finally, it came to the matter of going for a gratitude program in the mandir. So that time, we were not sure whether we'll come back for our university or not, for our undergraduation. All were in a mixed feeling, because by then we all got kind of hints from everybody because of our performance. And finally, when we went to mandir, we started singing the first song. As and when our program started, Swami called Shyam, ex-band leader who's working in institute right now. Kind of touchy moment it was. Swami started telling about him, how good he is and how much he loves Swami, all that. Then finally Swami told, start songs for me. When we finished the first song, Swami said, let all 12th class boys come to Punjanda auditorium. I'll have one get together with them. I'll have lunch with them. Swami was just happy. We were getting a chance to have food with Swami. Was
so nice
thing. He told Swami, very happy. Swami said, okay, start the second song. By the end of the second song, our warden went to Swami. But Swami, 10th class boss was outgoing. Why can't they join? Swami said, okay, let them also join, no problem. And again, we started with third song. By the end of third song, again, our principal went to Swami. Said, Swami, 8th, 9th and 11th is left out. Swami said, in that case, I'll come to hostel.
Oh.
It was just 5 days before our board exams.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and Swami said, Rep Ostanu, 10 ghante ki, get ready.
So tomorrow, 10 o'clock,
I'll come to hostel. Mm-hmm. Then, again, Swami said, continue with the songs. And he was so particular. He called our warden. Swami said, give payasam before the exam, give payasam after the exam. He was kind of trying to tell, for all the 12th class boys, you give payasam properly before exam, after exam. I'll come to hostel, I'll speak to you all personally. So, it was 5 days before the board exams. You can imagine the amount of, tension we had. But at the same time, we are feeling very happy that, Swami is coming to our hostel. So, we've kept all the academics thing aside. We start cleaning the hostel, cleaning the bathroom, cleaning the dining hall, altar, everything we start cleaning, 12th class boys. Then we prepared a backdrop. In that was written, Gundalona Ponga Prema Nikosame. Means the love which comes out of heart is only for you.
Okay.
As and when Swami entered the hostel, he looked at the backdrop and he said, 12th class Pillalu, very good at heart. Like we are thinking, Swami, thank you.
This is the first. You got a good character reference.
Yeah.
From the Lord of the Universe.
Then he came and sat on the jula. We all got a chance to offer, dry fruits, all that. Then he indicated for a discourse. When I ran for keeping a mic, Swami said, not required. He went to the podium. Without translation, he spoke for 45 minutes. And in that 45 minutes, for about 20 minutes, he spoke about 12th class boys. He said, 12th class boys, they're very good boys, they're very good at heart. Whatever they think for Swami only. And nobody wants to go outside, everybody wants to stay back here only.
What a rescue
we
plan!
We were like, Swami, you are the person now. Then, end of the thing, he gave a beautiful smile at everybody. And Swami promised everybody that he'll give seat to everybody, those who applied for. Then again, Swami, all we are happy and all. We are like very happy. Then end of the 12th class board exams, again we had gone to Trayabrindavan for a final darshan. And they say after exams we'll go for blessings. We all made to sit outside. He looked at all of us. Swami said, everybody go outside of Trayabrindavan. He called our batch inside, 12th class boys. Then he spent about half an hour with us. Swami asked us to sing the same songs which he sang for the gratitude songs. Then you were so happy, start playing the cymbals for the songs.
Do you remember which songs you sang?
One is that, Size Love is so wonderful, Size Love. That's one song. Then Gundalana Punga Prem, that one more song. Then Entha Manchi Teerpu. Like, it's like the, all the decision that you take is the app decision. All that, it meaning goes that way. And Chinni Krishna Murali Dara, that one song. 4-5 songs we kind of practiced. So, like, they are the best time, I should say, we had.
So, all the tension of not making to the university just evaporated. You guys had the chancellor speak up for you. That was quite special.
It was quite welcoming. And one more thing is, end of the program, Swami asked, how many boys are coming back? We all raised hands saying that Swami will come back. Swami particularly started asking, BA. So, like, since he had entered myself, only both of us raised the hand, myself and Ratnakar Dinkha. Swami said, idhar kaade nalagare.
Meaning, you know,
not
just two, but
two,
there should
be four. Supposed to be four. Other two people didn't apply for B actually. Then, finally it turned out to be only four from our batch. Swami told four.
It happened to be four.
It happened to be four. Then, for BS he asked, who are coming for BSc, physics, chemistry, all that kind of thing started. Finally he was happy to see everybody back in the hostel.
Very nice. And then you did your university education here for 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm sure you had so many special moments during those 5 years. You were very comfortable talking to Swami, weren't you? You were one of those people, you just run up to Swami, talk to him like your best friend and sit back.
Actually, I considered Swami as my best friend. I've never seen him as a god. There are incidents in my student days where, probably if I sit back and analyze now, if I had seen him as a god, probably I wouldn't have taken the first step towards him.
Because you would be in awe and wonder.
Yeah, so because we treated him like a friend, so we got a chance to go close to him. To start with, I should say, in my end of first year, I lost my father.
It happened during holidays that father passed away?
Yeah, I was there when he passed away. But when I came back to Parthi, the most sad thing was the person whom I depend upon, whom I consider as my best friend, he refused to talk to me for a year.
Swami didn't talk
Swami to didn't talk to me for a year.
When you needed him the most.
Needed him the most. So that is the time when I really felt bad. I started telling him, Swami, I left everybody for staying back with you and now you are trying to ignore me. I mean, I didn't get the correct answer from him for about more than 8-9 months.
Must have been very hard time.
Very hard time.
And your mother was so young and you had a little brother at home.
Yeah. And after coming back here, 1 week continuously came my dream. And first day he told, do service. I was like very happy because like at least Swami is indicating to do some service. Second day, third day, same dream.
So he didn't talk to you in person, but he came in your dreams.
Dream. It was kind of little bugging for me because anybody comes to you in your dream continuously for 3-4 days. Either it is to tell you that what you're doing is wrong or some problem is there in the process. So to correct that. So I didn't get a correct answer from Swami. Why Swami is telling me that I should do more service. Then finally, one day I just cried. I told Swami, please don't come in my dream. Like literally I prayed that way. I told Swami, please don't come in my dream. And if at all, if you come in my dream, please answer my question and go. Don't give me the same thing saying that do service. And that night when I slept, again same dream continued. Fortunately, in the dream, I asked Swami, Swami, why you are telling me to do service? Then Swami told me, see, your father, just before he passed away, remember he asked you, he wanted to come to Puttaparthi to do Sevadal service? I told Swami, yeah, he wanted to do service, Sevadal service. To make him happy, you have to do more service.
Oh.
I just didn't know how to respond.
You must have been a teenager then, no DJ? About 17, 18?
I think I was about 20.
20?
Less than 20, I guess.
Must be 19 or
yeah.
So, right? First, second year, yeah.
I was so happy. There I was trying to tell you, like, even those
little
times,
details.
Swami is trying to tell you that whatever you do, it is for your sake. I mean, you need not do anything for Swami. If Swami tells you do service,
this was for your dad's sake though.
Yeah. I
mean, it was his wish.
It is nothing to do for Swami. If Swami tells you do service, there is some different meaning in that. So that's the first lesson that I learned after coming to undergraduation in my BA. So the first lesson was like, whatever you do, when you're doing service, don't think of anything else. If you get an opportunity to do service, just go ahead and do. Because for every act, there is a positive and negative comments. So as long as you are happy with the service, I think you should accept to go for it. So that's the first lesson that I learned in my undergraduation. But I was feeling very bad that I didn't get a chance to interact with Swami in that 1 year. And finally, on my birthday, my mother told, just go for blessings. I said, no, I'm not going for, because I feel very pained to go for blessings when he's not talking to me. Then some mother said, she took promise from me. Then finally, like that year, I just took some akshatas and those gloves I took and went. Moment I went close to him, Swami said, still you're angry with me.
Oh, he said that?
First statement, no, I just broke down. I just didn't know how to respond. I told Swami, sorry, Swami. Swami said, how can you be so angry with me? I said, Swami, you didn't talk to me for so many months. Swami said, even I was feeling equally bad that if I talk to you, like if you cry off, I can't take that because you lost your father, no? So Swami, I lost my father, but I wanted you to talk to me. Then Swami said, you take Padamaskar. From today onwards, I am your mother, father, everything. Whatever you want, I am there for you. Come and ask to me. The huge gap of 8 months, 9 months, that pain, whatever you underwent, he just made it go in thin air just by giving one, you know, that beautiful smile and that, you know, the way he asks you, inka kopam taggaleda. I mean, you cannot find one more alternate a person like Swami, right? So all these things kind of got added to our confidence level. And during my student days, to be honest with you, I was more interested in doing service than going for his, you know, physical darshans.
Achha.
During hostel days, I got associated myself with a department called maintenance department, which is very active in hostel, and where I learned so many things.
Lot of life skills, hands-on work.
It's not only hands-on work, I should say, even MBA people may not get that kind of opportunity outside, like team management, pressure management, all those, you know, little things. A group of 30 people, you know, dynamics of 30 people, working with 30 people to take a call. You know, kind of a very good training for me in those 5 years. And in my maintenance department, I had a beautiful experiences, I should say. It's one of those days when in the Kulanthal, the speakers what was put up earlier days before this boss came, we sat and made the speakers in the hostel. We did the carpentry, plumbing, everything we have done as a team, maintenance department. And it was one of those days we had gone to test the speakers in Kulanthal. And it was diagonal extreme to the Brindavan hostel. Like from Brindavan hostel, if you see Kulanthal, that will be the first row of speakers. That time, the ladders what we had in Kulanthal were like just enough to reach the roof. Means literally you have to stand on your toes to reach the roof. So, I had gone up to hook up the speakers. And after hooking up, I just wanted to see the stability. I was hanging on the speakers. The sevadars happily pushed the ladder and went off. I was hanging like a monkey on top.
Dangling in the Kulanthal.
Yeah, for about 10-15 seconds I'm shouting, Sairam, Sairam. I mean, nobody tend to see me on top, I guess. Then finally, one sevadar saw and he rushed the ladder towards me. I got down. I was in mixed feeling. I was praying, Swami Samit, thanks for saving my life. Then finally, next day when I sat for darshan, Swami came to me and said, Dhunapota. I told Swami, Dhunapota, Gardi. Told Swami,
what is Gardi?
Gardi means donkey.
Oh, and a buffalo. Buffalo. You call
him both. I told Swami, Amen, Swami. Kshamichal, Swami. Amen, Parapata, Ente. Swami said, Paik Potao. Swami said, you'll go up, you'll hang like a monkey, and something happens there, you'll shout, Sairam, Sairam. I have to come there to save you. I was like, Swami, sorry for this mistake, but I'm grateful to you. Like these small incidents, no? Kind of adds to your confidence level, increases your faith in Swami.
Of course.
The funny situation, I should say, in hostel, we get two different power supplies. One from Shantivedika side, one from the planetarium side. So that day we had a problem with one transformer. So I wanted to kind of, you know, give back power. Mm-hmm. So I told set of boys not to put on the changeover because I was trying to loop the other one. Both sides was cut actually. I don't know what happened to these boys. They just triggered the both the side power. And in generator room, I was having both the side, 220 volts power flowing in my body. Hands. Both the side, three phase. And I was feeling something is flowing in my body. I didn't know what to do for sure. Because anybody touches me.
Yeah, you were getting electrocuted.
Along with me, that boy also will go for a toss. And I was just praying, Swami, please control this. And literally for about 10-15 seconds, I should say, the power is flowing through my body. And that day evening, I went and told Shivshankar Sai, the warden, told, sir, like this what happened, now what to do? He innocently told, CCC Swami is there with you always, but physically Swami needs to be updated about. Go and tell Swami that, Swami, you saved me, thanks, all that. So I wrote a letter, Swami, thank you for saving my life, all that. And I gave to him near the bhajan hall door, no? He looked at me and told, Re Dunna Pota, enni sari kaapadalra?
Meaning what?
Means how many times do I need to save you?
Oh.
Told Swami, Kemichal Swami, parapata ayindi. Told without the knowledge that boy went and triggered Swami. I mean, all that is fine. If you are doing it for Swami, Swami will take care of you. I mean, the lesson which you can derive from this entire exercise is that if you are doing for Swami, having nothing in your mind, you can ensure that whatever comes will be positive.
So he will save you.
At that point of time, had I thought I am the best person on earth, at that point of time, I had thought, okay, why that person, like, had I gone to my mind level, no, probably I would have burnt into ashes. So, because Swami saved, because all these things happened, because working for Swami, he ensured that because boys are working for Swami, he made a point to save. That's how, again, the confidence level, faith for him, again, you can tell it increases.
Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on February the 7th, 2013. You just heard part one of a fleeting moments interview with Brother Dhananjaya Sheth, an alumnus of the Sai School, the Sai University, and the happy mascot of the Radio Sai team. As I told you earlier, DJ started off on a very nervous tone. But as he went on to recall his association with Baba, he was full of spunk. And this interview only gets better in the next two parts, which we will bring you over the next 2 weeks. And the deeper DJ went down memory lane, the more enormous his love for Swami grew. At the end of the interview, I think he's at his best, because that's where he was so inspired that he started questioning me in turn as to why he should not be serving Swami with every shred of his being. His love for Swami left me speechless. Be sure to catch the next two episodes right here on Morning Glory over the next 2 weeks. As of now, please send in your feedback to part one that you just heard. You can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. Now, if DJ is one of the thousands of Sai University alumni, the Pan India Sai Balvikas movement has seen 10 lakhs, that is 1 million strong alumni. This is a million young Indians who have gone through the 9 years of Balvikas program. How is that for getting a sense of Bhagwan Baba's contribution to values education? Bhagwan's Balvikas program is a silent revolution that has delivered character education to a million Indian children over 9 years during their most impressionable years. Net outcome, due to his divine grace, Baba's Balvikas program has naturally produced spiritually awake, socially responsible and ethically upright men and women who continue to bloom wherever they are planted. Coming up next is a short conversation with Dr. Ramesh Srinivasan, an outstanding alumnus of the Balvikas program. It was recorded last month and here it is for your listening pleasure. Sairam, dear listeners, our special guest today is Mr. Ramesh Srinivasan. Mr. Ramesh Srinivasan has impeccable professional and academic credentials and I'm very happy to share them with you. He is a chemical engineer from the University of Bombay. And he went on to study at Caltech in California, USA, from where he got his master's degree, his PhD, and his postdoctoral work in the area of chemical physics. And very importantly, he's in Prashanthi Nilayam in January of 2013 for 2 days to attend the alumni meet of the Balvikas. Brother Ramesh Srinivasan has completed his Balvikas, the 9 years of the Balvikas program in 1990 from the Bandup Samiti in Mumbai, India. Currently, he is a management consultant in the area of healthcare and he works for McKinsey in San Francisco, California, USA. Sairam, Brother Ramesh, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sairam, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have somebody like you. I understand the speech you gave this morning in the Sai Kulwant Hall was very inspiring for a lot of people. Now, you've been a through and through Balvikas student. You've done 9 years of Balvikas.
If I asked you, what is your greatest takeaway and how has it impacted your professional and your personal life?
Thank you, sister. As I think about my foundational years through Bal Vikas, what has stayed with me since those years is the feeling that loving God and loving all that is godly is really the true purpose of life. And that has had profound and significant impact on my life, whether it be professional, whether it be personal. If I were to speak about the love of God, the desire, the intensity, the yearning to feel God's love and to deserve God's love and to seek those who love God has been one that has really shaped a lot of my adult life. Swami has often talked about the importance of satsang, and for me, the way in which I develop closeness to Bhagavan is really through his stories, through his leelas, and so I have often felt the need to seek company of those who have not only loved him but have been close to him in his physical form, and learning from their experiences, learning from their interactions with Bhagavan through the years has been a very, very special part of my life. In addition, I have learned through Bal Vikas that in order to love God, one has to love all that is godly, love all that is good. And that has meant, really in my own personal life, being able to live Bhagavan's teachings to the best of my ability, be able to do that in my professional life as well. And one of the very important lessons that I learned in Bal Vikas was really to aim high in life, that spirituality was not inconsistent with the desire to achieve excellence. And as Swami has often said, the end of education is perfection culture. To me, that has meant that really seeking excellence in the day-to-day activities of my life and also the major decisions and vocations of my life, that really has been, in some ways, the guiding principle, the guiding force. And one seeks to follow Bhagavan's teachings to the best of one's ability. Sometimes I falter, but knowing that the all-forgiving Lord is there to pull me up again and hold my hand and steady my walk is something that gives me reassurance that despite my failings, I will continue to make progress.
If I'm hearing you right, you're talking about head in the forest, hands in society kind of a perspective. How does that work with corporate America? You're right in the thick of an internationally well-known consulting company, and you work in an area of healthcare which is driven by profit-making in U.S., healthcare being private. Do the twain meet? Do you find conflict of value?
I do find being faced with situations that require soul searching. And what I have learned, though, in my years of serving clients is that the true ability to serve clients, especially in the profession that I'm in, is to be able to be trusted counselors to very senior business leaders. And surprisingly enough, the way to earn that trust is to have a complete lack of self-orientation. We, in our profession, are taught how not to focus on one's own self and how to focus on the other in order to gain authenticity in one's interactions, in order to earn the trust of one's clients. And really, it is Bhagavan's teaching of egolessness, and the less one is focused on one's own self and more on the other, it earns the trust, it earns the respect of those who you work with. And I have found that to be very true in my own personal life. What that affords you is really the ability to influence decisions, the ability to influence senior leaders who make those decisions in a manner that is not driven by authority of position or power, but more from the ability to articulate decisions and the appropriate trade-offs. There are clearly conflicts, but what I have learned is that these conflicts are not necessarily between right and wrong in many cases. The conflicts are more between a lower right and a higher right. And the trade-offs that I have seen senior business leaders make are ones that they often struggle with. It is the perception from the outside is that it is pure profit-seeking and that it is merely out of greed, if you will, that these decisions are made. But I have seen them struggle like any other human being would. They are saddled with great responsibility, they are saddled with great power, and the ability to counsel them in such moments of tough decisions. I find me going back and leaning on Bhagavan's teachings, me going back and leaning on the values inculcated through Balvikas as the springboard on which I'm able to seek guidance and sort through some of these challenging dilemmas and then offer the advice that I think resonates most with me.
And this advice that you offer, which resonates your Balvikas upbringing, how is it received by decision makers and leaders?
Surprisingly, or maybe it should not be surprisingly, the advice is received with a lot of respect, but with also it is received with the clear understanding that the person giving the advice has honest intentions, honest motives. I remember having heard a Sai elder many, many years ago, the only two questions to ask yourself when faced with any situation in life are, is the cause noble and is the motive pure? And I go back to those two questions often in terms of my own thought process and then give
the advice. So when you're dealing with capitalistic questions, you ask cause noble and is the motive pure?
It is. And oftentimes the cause is driven by profit. You ask yourself the question, the ability to run a large organization is based upon the ability to be able to afford the infrastructure and the cost related to running a large enterprise. And the one avenue is to follow the path that says we are going to optimize for all resources considered. And that means sometimes harsh decisions, tough decisions, loss of jobs, loss of incomes to families. On the other hand, one could take the approach to say we are going to run this business in a manner that purpose is not really to optimize economics, but it is to maximize livelihoods. And then you could run into a situation which we have seen happen in many government and public sector undertakings, that eventually the businesses are run into the ground and yet many jobs are lost and families are hurt. And so the art of being able to navigate these very tricky questions is something that is very hard to do. I must admit that sometimes the decisions that are made are sometimes something that I'm not comfortable with. And so one tries within the sphere of one's own influence, with the sphere of one's own ability to be able to change the direction of those decisions.
But then didn't you say that you're trained in the art of negating self-orientation?
Mm-hmm.
So how are you able to bring in your own value set into and influence the decision-making process?
When I meant self-orientation, it was about not giving advice that is eventually going to lead to my own professional furtherance.
I see.
It is not meant to play yes-men to senior business leaders. Being able to take an objective, independent view, even if it is at odds with the very senior business leader I'm sitting across the table with. Oftentimes, one is expected to almost sort of recommend what the person already had in mind before they hired you. And then the ability, one of our core values is actually to be objective, to be independent, and to really give advice that we think is truly for the benefit of the organization that we serve, regardless of one's own either individual furtherance or the furtherance of the company, which I must tell you sometimes has led to personal loss, has led to personal trade-offs in terms of progression in career. But you realize that you're serving a higher master and that in the end, things will take care of themselves, even if in the near term what appears to be professional loss or personal loss may not be comfortable. In the long run, mm-hmm. the divine master takes
care. Did you have moments of self-doubt, and did I make the right decision, take a stand?
I did. I mean, I go back to maybe not my corporate time, but I go back to a time when I was in undergraduate college in Mumbai.
Bombay.
And it was my desire to go abroad and study and do research in a leading institution, and as was the dream of many of my fellow colleagues. And so that drove a very bizarre desire to try and stand in the first few ranks in class through whatever means possible.
Well, hard work and what else?
And of course, when the times come for examinations, then the pressure to borrow from each other during answering your exam papers. And it really became almost a disease, I must say, in my own peer group, where we were 60 students in the class. And I shared this earlier during my talk today. It would turn out in the last year of my engineering degree, we would have three rows of desks for the final exam. The 59 students would occupy two of those columns of benches, and I would be the only student sitting on the front bench of the third row. And the only reason was that I did not either want to copy, nor did I want to be copied from, and had to face the brunt of my classmates' jeers, my classmates'. And this was clearly at the risk that I would not stand in the first few ranks in class. And it did turn out that I did not stand first in class, despite always having sought to excel. And the person who was awarded the first rank went on to MIT for his doctoral program in chemical engineering. I went on to Caltech. And fast forward a few years, that person couldn't stop his copying ways in MIT, was discovered and was thrown out. And with Bhagavan's grace, I was able to work in a lab, and that was recognized with the highest possible award in science, the Nobel Prize in Chemistry. Not only that, I was had the privilege of preparing my professor's Nobel speech address. My research was profiled by the BBC in a worldwide documentary. And so that experience and many such experiences have taught me that in sticking to Bhagavan's principles, in the short haul, things may appear to be taken away from him, but in the long haul, he pours. I've often used the phrase, we ask for a small change and he gives us continence in return. Such experiences further your determination that in following Swami, you follow all that is godly, and then other things get added on to you, as the Holy Bible says. So that has been my experience.
Phenomenal. That's such a great experience to fall back upon. And I think that's something that our listeners can really benefit from knowing. It's a reminder we need all the time that there will be setbacks, and they're always short term, as long as you stick to Dharma. Let's talk about the global economic meltdown of 2008-2009. How much of it, in your opinion, was connected to a deficit in values?
I would say it was entirely due to a deficit in values.
Man-made tragedy, calamity.
Man-made tragedy, calamity. And I would say that the irony of it all is those who suffered in the process were unsuspecting people who had invested their life's earnings, and it ruined families, it ruined institutions of great stature. And as Swami has often said, money comes and goes, but morality comes and grows. And so, and Mahatma Gandhi used to say, there's enough for everyone's need, but not for everyone's greed. And so that unfortunately caused the downfall, and we are still not have fully recovered from the downfall that was set in place a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. What in your view, as a Balvikas alumnus, is the solution to the problem? Because economic packages and change in economic policy can only affect change to a certain extent. But unless there is a change from within and people realize this concept of greed versus need and so on, and put a curb on their spending, their desires, the sense of discontent, things are not going to turn around, are they?
I think, which is why the Avatar in his masterstroke designed Balvikas as the curriculum to catch us young, to catch us in our formative years, and to really be able to implant those ideals in a very young age. Swami often gave the example of a young sapling having to be fenced around in order to protect it until it grows into a tree that's worthy of sheltering others. And in my opinion, education and human values is the only solution to the problems, not only the economic problems that the world faces, but all problems that the world faces. Because at the end of the day, the ability to create upright citizens, the ability to create individuals who care for the common good, who are willing to sacrifice their own limited interests in the interests of humanity, who can appreciate and truly believe in the core of their hearts Swami's dictum of Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam, who are able to see the good in all and be able to promote the good in all. that is the kind of society and those are the kinds of individuals that will have to permeate business, will have to permeate politics, will have to permeate all strata of society in order to lead not just India but the entire world to a better place. Swami often used to say that khaki, khadi and kavi, the political system, the law system and spiritual leaders have to all be in sync in order to lead the nation to greater heights. And so, to me, Balvikas really lays the foundation for all of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of leading the nation to a glorious future, Bharat, Swami spoke so highly of India all the time. But today, when we read headline news about India, most of us are so disappointed. We are so ashamed of the things that are happening in this country. There is rampant corruption in all areas and walks of life, or at least so it seems from the headlines. What are your hopes for the future of Bharat? And because Swami kept assuring us of a glorious Bharat. And what role do you foresee Balvikas playing in that?
I would say that the answer lies, frankly, in what I saw in the last day and a half here in Prashanthi Nilayam.
At your alumni meet?
The alumni of the Sri Sathya Sai Balvikas. I saw a young group, three students, and reminded me of my own days as a Balvikas student. To me, the hope for India lies in the furtherance of Swami's teachings through the medium of Balvikas, through Swami's education institutions, through the Seva organization, through all aspects of Swami's work and the inspiration that we have each derived from Bhagavan. If we are truly able to be honest with ourselves and be able to practice those teachings, today a sister very beautifully shared that Swami used to love relating Chinna Kathas, and she said that truly speaking, each of us are Swami's Chinna Kathas. We are his short stories, we are his beacons if we choose to be. To be able to spread light wherever we go, to spread hope wherever we go. Whether that means in our homes, Swami has often said that the home is a starting place for peace in the world. And if we can bring peace within our own homes, raise good children, raise upright children, instill them the values that we have learned from Bhagavan, that really is the hope of the next generation and future generations being able to embrace a godly life and therefore not only rising in love for God, but also earning the love of God.
By the way, Mr. Srinivasan, are you a parent?
I am.
Okay, and having been through the program, are your children also enrolled in the program in California?
I have a one-year-old daughter,
okay.
So she is being primed for entry into Balvikas.
Okay.
She'll have to wait a few more years.
Yes, we're just getting ahead of ourselves here. Okay.
But we'll
give her time to get there. And as a parent and as a product of the Balvikas program, what are your final words to our listeners who are part of this program, to gurus as well as students?
I believe that Bhagavan created the Sri Sathya Sai Balvikas movement as a way of transforming humanity. Swami's institutions here are special crucibles where he brought close to him a few fortunate souls. But the Divine Mother is praised in the Lalita Sahasranama as Avyaja Karunamurti, she who bestows unconditional, causeless love. And I believe that Bhagavan in his compassion created the Balvikas movement so that through the medium of Balvikas gurus, he could shower his love on millions of children around the world, me being one of them. And through the children of Balvikas, Swami is transforming not only them, but their families, their parents, their siblings. And my own family was introduced to Bhagavan through Balvikas. And so I believe that, as I said earlier, the avatar's masterstroke of using Balvikas as a way of molding young minds, molding their families, molding their children to come, has set in motion an engine that will not stop. I also want to share with my younger brothers and sisters who are currently in Balvikas that the investment that they make in Balvikas is one that will stand them in profound stead through their entire lifetime. I know, and I myself went through those pressures of not only school, but coaching classes and other classes, and often found the dilemma of should I go to Balvikas or should I go someplace else. And I can truly honestly say that but for Balvikas, in Swami's own words, I would have been a street dog instead of a street lamp. Don't know if I'm a street lamp yet or not, but with Bhagavan's grace, hopefully I have graduated from being a street dog. And to Balbika's gurus, I struggle for words to express my gratitude to my gurus. I shared earlier this morning, my Balbika's guru in Group 3 used to travel every week to me. I was the lone Balbika's Group 3 student in my samiti at that time, the first Balbika's Group 3 student at that time. And he, being trained in Group 3, would travel, take two buses, and come every week to teach me. And did that for 3 years of my Group 3 in Balbika's. Where else do you find such selfless love? Where else do you find such unconditional giving? And so to me, the debt of gratitude that we owe to our gurus is not repayable. I'm often reminded of Kabir's famous poem, Guru Govind Dono Khade Kiske Lagun Pai, Balihari Guru Apaki Govind Diyo Batai. And to my Balbika's gurus, they brought me to Swami's lotus feet, and that prema bandham, that bond of love, has been strengthened by Bhagavan through the years, but the foundation was laid by my gurus. So to my Balbika's gurus, to all Balbika's gurus, and to alumni, I would encourage all of them to try and see if they can themselves become Balbika's gurus, because to whom much is given, much shall be expected, and our way of making Swami happy is to really further this program through which He brought us to His divine lotus feet.
Beautiful words. Thank you for sharing your inspiration with us. Appreciate your presence today.
Thank you, Sairam.
Sairam.
Sairam, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You just heard a conversation with Balbika's alumnus, Dr. Ramesh Srinivasan, a consultant with McKinsey in San Francisco, USA. We have quite an impressive list of such short reflections with Bhagwan's Balbika's alumni, and we will continue to bring you those over the next few weeks on Morning Glory. By the way, just for your information, Balbika's is taught as Sri Satya Sai Education or SSE in over 120 countries outside of India as well. I hope you will send us your feedback to Dr. Ramesh Srinivasan's interview and to the Fleeting Moments conversation with DJ of Radio Sai fame. Our email ID is listener@radiosai.org. Now, before I sign off, here is a musical treat from the recent Tyagaraja Aradhana Festival that filled the airwaves in the Sai Kulwant Hall on February the 2nd.
Sura, 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 S
was a sample from the recently held Tyagaraja festival that was held here in Prashanthi Nilayam in the Divine Presence. It is now time for me to offer morning glory at Bhagwan's lotus feet. I hope, Swami, you enjoyed it through each of your listeners. Till we meet again, this is Karuna signing off and asking you to please be well, keep seeking, and do whatever it takes to stay inspired and to stay focused on the positive. Thank you for your company. Sai Ram.
Thank you.